This is Susan Lindauer. It's great to be with you guys today. I gave advance warning about 9/11. I was arrested on the Patriot Act 30 days after I approached the Senate Intelligence Committee and John McCain requesting to testify to Congress about the real facts of 9/11 and Iraqi pre-war intelligence. And I then engaged in a five-year battle royale with the Bush White House as they aggressively covered up and spewed lies, wild lies about me that I was not competent to stand trial. In fact, I want to be very clear. I was accused of receiving money from the Iraqi government. That was a lie. It was very silly. The Iraqi government had no money, but the diplomat in question had a girlfriend named Susan, and it is very possible that he had three lunches totaling $92.92 with her, and that he gave her a bottle of $65 perfume. That is the evidence they had against me. There were also a couple of very small forgeries by Iraqi exiles, money, $100, allegedly given to me by a diplomat who had left the country a year earlier. So they did not have any evidence against me that would really stand up in court, and I was then attacked. But subsequently, I am the ultimate whistleblower. I love Julian Assange. I am praying for Julian not to be extradited to the United States. And the reason I'm telling you about the Patriot Act and what I suffered was that I know how Julian would be treated here in America. And I've lived through it. And these people under the Patriot Act, entitles the government to conceal evidence, to designate evidence to be secret evidence, so they can make accusations against you like they did to me without ever providing any evidence at all. And in my case, they were terrified of going before a judge and a jury. So they just said, well, it's all classified. We're not going to tell you what it is. And I said, that's because there is no evidence. And that is what would happen to Julian Assange. So everybody needs to help and support Julian Assange at this
moment. Well, you're right. One thing you haven't talked about, though, Susan, there is you actually went to jail, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was locked up in prison on Carswell Air Force Base. And again, another problem because of the Patriot Act, I was the prison decided that I would not be allowed to have meetings with my attorney or with my family. And there was nothing I was able to do about it. So we had to, my uncle, who is an attorney, actually drove 700 miles. I guess that's about 1,000 kilometers in each direction, coming down to see me three times. And finally, he had to have the judge in my case was forced to, and he was my uncle was denied entrance to the prison, despite being on my guest list and all of that. He was denied entrance to the prison. And the judge in the case was forced to order the U.S. Marshals to stand by to escort my uncle attorney into the base to see me. That's how aggressive they are, denying a defendant's right to consult an attorney in a case.
Well, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And I mean, I think we all understand that Julian Assange is worried. Well, I mean, if he was listening to this, what advice have you got from your experience to him?
I think I would advise his attorneys to contact me personally, and I would give them a debriefing on all the negative, all the dangerous precedents of the Patriot Act, such as the secret evidence and the secret procedures. In my case, under the Patriot Act, any attorney this happened to me. So I'm not just speaking speculatively here. This is what happened to me. My attorney was ordered to sign a non-disclosure agreement when he had a meeting with the prosecutor. I was never advised that this meeting had occurred. I never even knew it had happened until the case was dismissed and the evidence was submitted to me only after the case was over. So then I received this huge box of evidence that I'd never seen. One of the pieces of evidence was a memo from the Department of Justice declaring that my CIA handler, Richard Fuse, was subject to military and state secrets. And in any case involving Iraq, the prosecution would be allowed to present evidence in camera to the judge directly that would not be shared with the attorneys for the defendant, and the defendant would not be allowed to know this occurred. So this was used in my case against me. Now, in my case, the other part of this memo said that if Richard Fuse was a material witness, then the case against the defendant must be dismissed immediately. In other words, Richard Fuse, my CIA handler, Richard Fuse, on any subject involving Iraq, would not be allowed to testify and would be subject to military and state secrets, but the case would then be automatically subject to a summary dismissal. And this document was concealed from me for 5 years, which is terrible. It's abhorrent that they did this, and they went out and they told all of you the whole world was told that I was not competent. I was crazy. They said they tried to say I was a religious maniac because I believe in God. I do. I absolutely do. You know, and I have a good, you know, when you have I believe if you have like a good spiritual life, then you're more buoyant.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me as if, you know, Susan, it sounds to me pretty perverse, because it sounds as if actually they're the crazy ones.
Yes, they were. They didn't. They insisted the war in Iraq was justified and beneficial, and that Saddam and the evil Iraqis had been concealing weapons of mass destruction. A lot of people do not know that I am the one who negotiated the return of the weapons inspectors to Iraq with Iraq's ambassador to the United Nations in New York, and with the foreign ministry, the foreign minister in Baghdad. So I'm the one who did this, and with the senior diplomats, to make sure that everything would be compliant with what the United States wanted. Everything I did was being reported to the chief of staff for the president of the United States, and it was also given to Secretary of State Colin Powell. Iraq had agreed to allow the weapons inspectors in. Iraq invited the FBI to send a terrorism task force into the country 7 months before the 9/11 attack. So every time that I would go to Baghdad and go to the Iraqi embassy and say, "What do you know about this big attack?" Now, this is in April and May and July and August, you know, going before the September 11th attack, I'm talking to the Iraqi embassy and the diplomats saying, "What do you know? What do you know?" And they kept saying, "Why don't you send the FBI into Baghdad?" Oops. So the government was covering up an awful lot of stuff. But I would tell Julian Assange's attorneys to reach out to me immediately, because I will help you. I will help those attorneys for Julian Assange work out a detailed strategy that exposes how the Patriot Act works and how evidence is – sorry.
We'll definitely do that for you. You know, make sure you're put in touch with them via their Julian's father, John Shipton, in Australia. I mean, obviously, everyone's watching this particular case. But look, I dragged you onto the airwaves again, Susan, really to give us a bit of an update on the way you think things are going with the whole COVID pandemic, because I mean, it just seems to me that we're in a terrible situation here in Britain. Although many of the restrictions are relaxing, this Omicron variant is like a gift from God, because it's no worse than a common cold, and yet it gives you some form of immunity to COVID. If you catch it, it's exactly the sort of thing that we need in order to, make sure that everyone is. It's almost like the old common cold coronavirus, which right at the very beginning of all this, the BBC reported that if you've had that common cold coronavirus, then you have a very much less likely case of even catching COVID-19, let alone getting ill or dying from it. So, you know, this has been great here. And yet, at the same time, we have care home workers. And now that was end of last year. And now, right this minute, something like between 50 and 100,000 National Health Service workers being sacked because they haven't had vaccines, even though the disease seems to have disappeared over the horizon. So what do you make of where this has been going, and particularly, Susan, where you think it's headed?
Mass formation psychosis. This is it's like the world is being run by hypochondriacs, and they're trying to impose their paranoia and fear onto the rest of us. I've seen that in Quebec, unvaxxed peoples are no longer allowed to enter a grocery store unless there is a health supervisor with them to make sure they are buying only food and medicine and nothing else. They're not even the discrimination against unvaxxed peoples in the United States is causing, I think in New York City, it's 40% of the firefighters had to, 40% of firefighting operations had to shut down. Restaurants are shutting down. And we're seeing this all over the place. Schools are shutting down. Maternity wards are shutting down. Nursing homes are understaffed because people are like, look, this is my healthcare choice, and I'm making an educated decision in my own right, and I'm not going to take this.
Yeah, I like this idea of rule by hypochondriacs. That seems to actually fit what's really going on. But this, for example, what's happening in Quebec seems like a kind of provocation, effectively, against the population by Trudeau and the central government.
Absolutely, it is. And look what Macron said, that he would bully these people and make unvaxxed individuals miserable. But look at what's happening in France. And look at what's happening in the truck drivers between Canada and the United States. Truckers have been there are videos of trucks convoy 70 miles long. I guess that's like 100 kilometers, I think. And they're driving up to the Canadian border and then turning around at the border and driving back. So they're going right to the edge and they're showing themselves and then turning around and saying, no, we're not going to bring goods and services into goods and food into your country. We're not going to be victimized by you. We're not going to play this game for you. But yes, what we're seeing in Washington is, everyone is now aware of these things. But in the United States, I am disappointed that there have not been mass protests. I'm really surprised by that. Our resistance is mostly occurring on the blogs and in sure. Alternative media.
Yeah, but that's no good. I mean, that's no good. The idea of these things are just becoming talking shops.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And we need people to get out in the street, and it's not happening yet. And that is very worrisome. But it's also playing out in the courts. Joe Biden's vax mandate has been struck down. But they're saying that private corporations and businesses have the right to inflict this on their employees. And so we're seeing the largest number of voluntary resignations in history. People are saying, okay, I guess I'm going to have to quit my job. And so a lot of food production in the United States is stopping. We have had massive food shortages, that there's just no, you go into the grocery stores, there's no food on the shelves. You can't buy food to eat in American grocery stores. It's really shocking. And it's because they tried to impose these COVID mandates, these vax mandates, and people said, okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to quit my job. So goodbye. And they're not, and the corporations thought that we would just all swallow this and take it. So even though there are not protests, Americans are walking with their feet, and we are seeing record, just like I guess you see in London, you know, record number of stores and restaurants are closing down, and they're gone forever. It's not a temporary thing. We are heading into a global depression, I think.
Well, this is interesting because we've been discussing, people like you and I, Susan, for years, the very unwise decision to go for this whole idea of printing money, which has created this ridiculous kind of fake, basically like heroin to keep the economy going, where the real economy is dying on, you know, and the fake economy is basically pumping up asset prices, share prices. And you've got all these corporations that aren't actually really viable, and yet their share prices are an all-time high, some of them. So it's a very, very fake world that we've moved into financially. But then also, at the same time, we're seeing increased tension with the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action in the Middle East, you know, the Iran nuclear deal, which Trump pulled out of. It's so important to put that together, at least in my view, back together. And yet that doesn't seem to be getting anywhere at the moment. And so this means that obviously the tension is increasing in the Middle East, which is where, you know, where obviously you were very much involved in 2002 and 2003. So anyway, what do you make of the financial and the Middle East war potentials?
I don't know if the war potential in the Middle East is any greater. I think that we are heading you and I have had a conversation about this, that the Israel is dominating the Labor Party. Pro-Israeli forces are dominating the Labor Party. Here in the United States, pro-Israeli lobbies are significantly weaker. There really has been a transition, and I expect that to continue, that the support for Israel, I think, is falling away fast. I think that Israel is much more isolated than ever before, at least here in the United States.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not translating into action, is it, when it comes to the Iran nuclear deal and trying to put that back together? It's just, you know, it looks as if the sanctions are there to stay on Iran, and the Israelis are still banging the table saying they want a war.
Yes, yes. But at this point, I think that if there is a war in Israel, the young people of America will not go fight for Israel. And also, I have to tell you, and this is so important for your audience to know, Europe and Great Britain have always depended on the United States to support NATO, to support wars against Russia or against Germany. And you have, I'm just being honest, you have expected us to come in and bail you out. And we have done that in World War I and World War II. But what happened in World War II is going to play out again, which is that Churchill, as we all know, had to make an aggressive peace bid as for support from the Allies, from the United States. And the United States was just like, no, we're not coming into that war. And I think that you're going to see the same thing happen in any war with Russia and any war with Israel. Young Americans do not want to go die in your countries. We do not want to go have wars with Russia. There is zero enthusiasm for rescue, you know, for fighting Russia. The military is going through a significant overhaul, where they're trying to make it more politically correct and more, they say it's more inclusive and more I don't know what. It's like they're more transgender, they're more favorable to LGBTQ, they're chasing out all the conservatives who are the G.I. Joe soldiers, if you will. But then who's left to fight? You have a U.S. military that is not preparing itself for battle or war against China or Russia or to defend NATO, but it's more, let's sing kumbaya. I mean, so if you guys want to have everyone have a come over to your countries and sing kumbaya, that's great. But I have to tell you that the British soldiers, I think it was the SAS, it's SAS, right? They just had some military drills in the United States, and they kicked our butts. They really did trounce the U.S. soldiers in these military drills, and they had to admit defeat. We've never had to admit defeat before. We're not capable of fighting. And so I really think that if anyone over there is hoping the United States will come through for NATO to stop Russia taking Ukraine, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, well, I don't see the invasion of Ukraine happening personally. I mean, I haven't seen, it's a bit like your case, Susan. I've seen no evidence for this at all. We've had 3 weeks of it on the major news every day. Or what are we going to do when they invade? You know, no evidence at all.
Yeah. Biden is looking for any sort of distraction. Look over there. You know, don't look at me. Look over there.
Yeah, and also, of course, they may well be just simply using this as an excuse to move troops into these Eastern European countries. But look, the most wonderful thing about you, I think, is your sort of spiritual take on things. One of the things I've been looking at over the last few years is this whole transhumanist agenda, this idea that, you know, there are amazingly wealthy, powerful people out there who are kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes. A lot of them, there's names we would never know. If we passed them in the street, we wouldn't know who they were. But they are financially very powerful, and they're invested in a lot of this high-tech sort of transhumanist stuff. In other words, this idea that, God is out of the window, and actually it's up to mankind to genetically engineer humans so, for example, with a little bit of tweaking, we could be made to live forever, or at least our children could.
Oh, God, why would you want to do that? I have enough trouble with this life, let alone living five lives. But yes, the artificial intelligence, the eugenics, I mean, it's crazy. On one hand, they want fewer people, and they want the fewer people to be impoverished, to live totally dependent on government controls, and to have every aspect of their lives regulated, right down to birth and death. And then on the other hand, they want to move to a transhumanist society, and we're seeing the failure of the Great Reset. I think that this is probably the most significant, is that the outcome is that the Great Reset is a disaster. And even now, the ordinary people who never worried about it before, and the elites who thought they were going to, you know, fly away to heaven for it, and enjoy all the great perks and benefits and live in the sky while the rest of the people groveled in the dirt. That's what I mean. We would be groveling in the dirt, and they would be living like in kingly compounds. And they're finding out that it's just not going to go that way. We're not as compliant as they were hoping.
Well, no, but hang on, because they still control the global financial system. There's talk this week of kicking Putin, the Russians, out of the SWIFT payment system again. And so that it would be much more difficult to, for example, for tourists to go to Russia, for businesses to do business with Russia, everything suddenly becomes really annoying and awkward. We've also got this Magnitsky Act and its equivalent here in Europe and in Britain, where if Russian business people visit, they can have their visas withdrawn at an instant and be arrested for violating their visas at any time, which of course makes it very difficult for Russians to be, you know, to come over here and do business in the West. You know, there's basically loads and loads of harassment against the Russians.
Well, and but also, but here's the drawback to all of that is that Russia is in vast possession of forestry, minerals, precious minerals for development and industrial purposes. The Russians have the natural gas and the oil reserves that Europe, the Western Europeans need. So really, if Russia wanted to pay you guys back, Russia and China could boycott, could impose sanctions on Europe and could seriously hurt you. I mean, the sanctions are a two-way street, and it's European corporations that are so much in need.
Well, we're finding that at the moment with Nord Stream 2 is all sitting there ready to go. It's just that the people in Brussels don't want to press the button. And it's probably a giant lever there that they'd have to pull in order to make it. And that would bring our gas prices in Europe right down. I mean, we're at the moment facing a doubling of gas prices, and yet the EU is saying, well, no, we're not having this Russian gas. It's almost, well, it's cutting off your nose to spite your face, quite clearly.
Same thing with Iran. Same thing in Syria and Iraq. I mean, if you shut down all the oil production in the Middle East, where's it going to come from? Oh, it's got to come from Russia. And now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just have no heating systems at all? Our U.S. oil and gas is now coming from Russia and Iran.
Amazing. Anyway, look, just to round up on the spiritual side of things, Susan, have you got anything sort of positive, encouraging to say? Because there's so much doom and gloom. Number one, most of what we're getting on the mass media now is really rather blatant propaganda. We've had in Britain for the last 3 weeks, Boris has got to go, Boris has got to go. And of course, he's not going. And then we've had, Putin's going to invade Ukraine. Putin's going to invade. It almost seems designed to make you lose the will to live with this nonsense filling up the airwaves.
I think I am approaching this with a great sense of humor. Here in the United States, Joe Biden has been a disaster of a president, as I'm sure everyone over there is aware. So in the past couple of days, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer announced he was retiring from the Supreme Court. And the Democrats have been celebrating this. And some people have suggested that Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, who's very unpopular, that she could replace Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court, and that would effectively boot her out of the White House and out of the chain of command for ascension to the presidency.
Well, that always sounds very feudal, really, you know, like as a handful of mates running the show.
Absolutely, it is. But here's the thing, the backlash. So yesterday, Joe Biden made this proposal, and the White House just announced that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer would be retiring. Well, today, and you have to realize how funny this is. Today, Stephen Breyer, who's the Supreme Court Justice who's supposedly retiring, said, guys, I don't know where you got the idea that I'm retiring. I have not made any public announcements about my retirement. And I do not know. I think I probably will be retiring at some point soon, but I have not made any official announcements. And so Biden's camp has been forced to walk back.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's like he's heard about his own retirement on CNN, even though he isn't retiring.
Exactly. But what would be pretty funny, and this is something to watch, is if Kamala Harris is promoted to the Supreme Court. Now, first of all, she is so unpopular that I do not believe she could get enough votes to muster the nomination. Okay. But let's just say that she did. Who would be taking over? So what they would do is they would get rid of Vice President Kamala Harris. They would pull a Richard Nixon. And in the case of Richard Nixon, the Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned from his job, and Gerald Ford was introduced as vice president. And it was only after Gerald Ford was introduced to the White House that Richard Nixon resigned and Gerald Ford was elevated to that, to the presidency. What we think is happening right now, and this is worth watching, is that what they're hoping to do is push Kamala Harris into the Supreme Court, thereby freeing up the vice president's office. Then Hillary Clinton has been very loudly vociferous in declaring that she wants to be nominated as vice president. And so if we get rid of Kamala Harris, nominate Hillary Clinton to the vice presidency, then Hillary Clinton can turn around and remove Joe Biden as president on the 25th Amendment. That would put Hillary Clinton into the White House as president, the first woman president of the United States. And that is what we think the Democrats are trying to do right now, what I just told you.
Well, we shall certainly see. Anyway, look, whereabouts is the best place to follow your work, Susan, for listeners?
I have a radio show on Truth Frequency Radio, and I'm on every Sunday at 11 o'clock Eastern Time.
You're 5 hours behind us.
11 a.m., so it would be about 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
In the afternoon here on a Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio. Susan Lindauer, whistleblower, Iraq war whistleblower, a bit like Catherine Gunn. We're sort of collecting them here. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.